This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Welcome to Campus Voices, where each week we look at some key issues that affect UK students, the UK campus, and the Lexington community. Campus Voices is created by Journalism 304 students with the help of the journalism faculty. Please send any questions to news@wrfl.fm.
Good evening and welcome to Campus Voices, a program where we take a look at what's going on in Lexington and on UK's campus community. I'm your host, Maggie Davis, and today we'll be discussing depression among student athletes. According to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the depression prevalence rate for young adults, which ranges anywhere from 10 to 85% across various studies, is higher than it is in other age groups. Recently, the NCAA released a commercial about student athletes. However, after that commercial aired, many athletes were quick to comment about the commercial and how untruthful it was in its depiction of life as a student athlete. One of the depictions that former and current student athletes mentioned was the lack of portrayal of a mental struggle. In 2013, the NCAA's chief medical officer, Dr. Brian Hainline, declared mental health the number one health and safety concern across the NCAA. Some studies show that exercise can help in lowering depression and anxiety while improving fatigue levels, but a recent study done by the British Journal of Sports Medicine found that nearly a quarter of Division I athletes report symptoms of depression. WRFL reporter Camila Williams has more on the statistics of student-athlete depression.
Four researchers from Keene University and Drexel University surveyed 438 student-athletes anonymously and found that nearly 30% of female athletes showed symptoms of depression compared to the 18% of male athletes. When Fox Sports reporter Justin Chang interviewed 25 student-athletes, not a single student-athlete interviewed was aware of the tangible NCAA resources offered. Camila Williams for WRFL.
Well, some troubling numbers there that we'll, of course, get to in just a moment. But tonight, as always, we're joined by some incredible guests. In the studio, we're here with Kentucky women's basketball player Sabrina Haynes. Sabrina started her college basketball career at Arizona State before transferring to the University of Kentucky last year. That team season is over for now, of course, but she'll be eligible to compete next season. Currently, she's majoring in journalism with a minor in sociology. We also have Dr. Alex Forsyth, a staff psychologist at the University of Kentucky Counseling Center and a former D1 tennis player herself. She works with students at UK, including the LGBTQ community, students with eating disorders, and student athletes. Thank you both so much for being here with us tonight. We're really excited, as always, to have some incredible guests with us. Sabrina, I want to start with you first. As a student athlete, how much does this topic of depression come up sort of in your everyday life, whether that be with your teammates or with your coaches sort of telling you about those resources? How much is that pushed on you as a student athlete?
I mean, we definitely have a lot of meetings about that. I know that she's talked to our team before, and, you know, a lot of people kind of come up to us about it. But I think it's something that's not really discussed as much as it should be, because I know a lot of people, like, it happens a lot. You know, I've gone through my own struggles with that, and just I think it's rising as far as, like, the awareness of it, but I still think it's not talked about enough. But our athletic department does a great job of kind of giving us resources and, you know, helping us, you know, get through it.
Right. And you mentioned that you do have psychologists come in and talk to you all. What sort of message do they bring when they come to talk to the team?
Just kind of tools to use in order to, like, if you're ever feeling any type of way, and just that they're always open to talk, and kind of who to go to if you feel like you are struggling or anything like that. So they've done a very good job with that.
Right. Dr. Forsyth, we'll switch it to you now. Like Sabrina said, you have gone to go talk to that team before. When you go, what sort of an open dialogue do you hope to bring to those student athletes?
Well, I think what Sabrina's talking about is that there's a lot of stigma, particularly in the athletic culture. You know, you hear messages about how athletes should be tough, and showing signs of emotions or different things like that are weakness or seeking out services. So a lot of what is important to do is just provide education and also say, hey, we are a place that is welcome and that we are here to support student athletes, all students on campus. And that's really important to be able to talk about that and to highlight the difficulties that student athletes have in general as well. So just providing an open, warm space to be able to do so.
Right. And Sabrina said she feels like, at least in her opinion, that that sort of awareness is on the come up. Do you have that same opinion that students are more willing to talk about this issue now than maybe even a few years ago?
I mean, so what I've noticed is that the stigma has certainly decreased. So I think in some ways, like a lot of individuals, broadly speaking, are more open and willing to come seek services. So I think that that's something that's important to consider and how maybe we can break down stigma by talking about it and by doing things like what we're doing right now.
Mm-hmm. Right. And to kind of build off of that, I think definitely more people need to like approach you guys about that stuff. Cause I know I've had conversations with plenty of student athletes over my time in college and like they're aware of it, but sometimes they don't take that extra step to go get help. And I think that's kind of the next little hurdle that we have to get over.
Right. And how do you think we can get student athletes to take that jump? I mean, as an athlete here yourself, you kind of understand it's hard balancing everything and then squeezing in more time to go meet with someone to talk about these things. It's hard.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, it's very difficult at times, and just you have a lot on your plate and you don't really get a whole lot of time to like take time for yourself and for your mental health. And that's kind of something I've tried to focus on myself as I've gotten older. But I don't even know how we can help people get over that hurdle. But I think the fact that the stigma is going down and that awareness is kind of being brought up, like, it'll help. And, you know, people got to understand that, like, it's okay to not be okay.
Right. And you bring up sort of the struggle of how much time and how much energy does go into your everyday life as a student athlete. I mean, you have two completely different lives going on at the exact same time. Do you feel like the mental health component not only affects, you know, how you're studying in one aspect in terms of getting your schoolwork done and being a good student, and also being that athlete and how you perform on the court sort of works both ways?
It definitely, because no matter what, we're expected to perform in practice and workouts and everything. And that's, of course, that's our job. That's what we're here for. That's how I'm going to school here. But, you know, as far as like, we also have to deal with schoolwork. So I may be done with practice at 7 o'clock and I still have 3 hours worth of schoolwork to do. I don't have a whole lot of time to take for myself. And so, I don't know. It's definitely difficult, but I think I enjoy it a lot. You know, there's definitely a lot of highs, but there are also like a lot of lows just because there's of that workload and because we're still learning about ourselves. We're still people, you know.
Right. Yeah. Definitely. Well, and like you bring up, depression can affect student athletes in many different ways. It can affect their ability to perform, to work, study, interact with peers, or just take care of yourself mentally and physically. On top of that, just being a college student alone already has its own stressors. WRFL reporter Fawn Evans spoke with some students here on UK's campus about their everyday routines and how stressful being a college student can be.
Researchers at Drexel University and Keene University surveyed 465 athletes at anonymous Division I institutions over 3 years and found that 1 in 5 college students show signs of depression, while 1 in 4 college student athletes also show signs of depression. According to the researchers at Drexel and Keene University, stressors for both athletes and non-athletes can include homesickness, separation anxiety, stress over grades and amount of coursework, financial stress brought upon by the increase in the cost of tuition, the dread of debt after college, the fear of not getting a job after graduation, and much more. The study also found that pressures brought upon by parents, coaches, professors, and bosses can also have a big effect on students' mental health. Students around the University of Kentucky's campus spoke on what makes them stressed and if it has an effect on their mental health. Taylor Smith, a sophomore at the University of Kentucky, explains what stress can do to her academically and how it can affect her personal life.
I feel what makes me stressed is when I'm not performing in my classes as well or healthily as I should. This causes stressors because as a first-generation student, I am trying to break generational curses, and without the support of family that can understand what I'm going through, college is rare to have someone that I can go to talk to. The stress usually causes me to perform lowly in class.
Expert psychiatry professor and director of the Schizophrenia Center at Johns Hopkins Medical Center, Dr. Akira Sawa, says that stress can trigger a number of mental illnesses, including bipolar disorder, severe depression, and substance abuse.
Some college students can be stressed by the act of balancing between academics, jobs, extracurricular activities, erratic sleeping habits, all while trying to maintain a healthy social life. The students that were interviewed here on campus believe the stress of college does play a part in the decline of mental health. For WRFL, I'm Fawn Evans.
Well, like we just heard, 1 in 5 college students show sign of depression. 1 in 4 college student athletes show the same. Dr. Forsyth, you work with all students here on campus, obviously not just student athletes. When you do meet with students, do you tend to see similarities or do you see sort of different issues in those student athletes than you do from non-student athletes?
I think the So I'm going to talk about challenges here around student athletes and what that looks like. So what we know, right, is that the general population, they do have academics. They're navigating through peer relationships, some alcohol and drug stressors, those sorts of things. But then you add in all of the other things that student athletes have, and all of those can be contributing factors, right? Like the time management, missing classes, navigating different relationships with their teammates and different things like that. Social media that they're receiving all the time, where it's like a lot of people feel like they can even talk about or criticize or give feedback on what their performance looks like. So they're not just performing on the court, on the field, wherever their sport is, but they're also having to perform with their academics.
Right. Sabrina, thoughts on that?
I mean, she hit it right on the head. I mean, definitely, because I like to compare it to where, you know, regular students, like, everybody has stress. Everybody, you know, college is hard. It gets very hard and it's very stressful. And just, I tell people, I'm like, all right, now add a whole other job on top of that.
Right.
And that's kind of what I go through on a daily basis. And that's what I hope people understand. That's why it kind of strikes a nerve with me when people kind of talk about student athletes as if, like, we're not, it, like, our job isn't that hard. And I'm like, man, like, if you could go through just one day of what we go through, like, it's because I wake up at 6 a.m. for weights and then I'm going all the way till 7. And then I still have, like, other stuff to do. And, you know, it's just, it's a lot to manage.
Right. It's a full-time job, like you bring up. So sort of, you sort of started this here, but talk us through an average day. Of course, obviously, right now your season is not really in full swing, but look back on a few months ago. What was your daily schedule, like your daily routine?
Well, we would have weights at 6 a.m. and then I have class. I'd say my hardest day would be I'd have 3 classes. So I'd be going until, like, 3:15 or so, and then I go straight to practice, which is from, like, I would say, like, 4 to 7, and then after that I still have, like, papers and stuff I have to write, still have classes and stuff, and then I'm probably going to sleep around, like, 11 or 12.
Right. And eventually you have to eat, sleep,
I have
breathe.
To breathe, you know what I'm saying, like, I still have to do, like, bodily stuff, like, to survive, but but I mean, I don't know, it's a lot, but, you know, I love the game and everything like that, and that's why I go through it. But yeah.
Right. Well, obviously that can lead to a lot of stress on your end of things. And we've talked a lot about stress and how it can lead to depression in some people. And unfortunately, in other people, it can also lead to substance abuse. According to a recent study done by Harvard University, the use of mood-altering substances such as alcohol, narcotics, stimulants, and depressants among full-time students is now considered commonplace. It shows that 22.3% of students reported using illicit substances recently. The study also showed that 52.2% of students nationwide drink alcohol. Here's WRFL reporter Fawn Evans to tell us more about the statistics on substance abuse among students.
Many times, substance abuse co-occurs with mental health issues. A study done by Harvard University showed depression and alcohol abuse among students in college go hand in hand. The study showed that a substantial fraction of the college youth is experiencing poor mental health and that these youth are at higher risk for alcohol abuse. The study also showed that while only 52.2% of non-student athletes nationwide use alcohol, 62.1% of student athletes use alcohol. That's almost more than 10% of regular students. The study showed that along with alcohol and depression, other substances used among students include anxiety meds, marijuana, tobacco, depressants, stimulants, and narcotics. Steroids are also a drug commonly used among athletes. Recently, the NCAA Sports Science Institute created a program called Substance Abuse Prevention and Intervention, an Athletics Toolkit, to help athletes prevent the use of substance abuse. Along with this program came the NCAA's mission statement for the program that says they believe the prevention of substance abuse is vital to student success. For WRFL, I'm Fawn Evans.
52.2% of students and 62.1% of student athletes. That's a fairly significant difference there between those non-student athletes and those student athletes. Dr. Forsyth, why do you think it is that student athletes are more compelled, sort of in a general sense, to turn to these substances as opposed to non-student athletes?
That's a difficult question. I think, first of all, what we know is that when people use substances, it's often a way to cope in a lot of ways. So whether it's to cope with that stress that you're experiencing, and also being on campus, sometimes you can experience the peer pressure, those sorts of things as well. So I don't know if I can answer that completely, but that is what I have to say about that.
Right. Sabrina, were those numbers surprising to you sort of in your own experience in that sort of student athlete culture? Do you find that more people, because you are that more stressed in general, tend to turn to other substances?
I wouldn't say from like any like personal experience. I haven't like witnessed anything myself but it sounds pretty accurate, you know, mm-hmm. like we've been talking about this whole time, just as far as the stress and everything like that, and how she said like it leads to people trying to cope with that. I mean, I believe it.
Right. And as a psychologist here on campus, obviously, what advice would you give to students who maybe are in too deep in terms of study drugs, especially this time of the year with Adderall and sort of things like that, in terms of the dangers of turning to something like that as a coping mechanism, like you said?
What advice would I give them? I would probably help them find ways to manage their time and to give themselves a break, too, so that they can then have the mental energy and capacity to be able to do what they need to do in terms of studying and that sort of thing, because there is a lot of that pressure. But finding other ways to cope with some of that, that's something that I think is important to consider.
Right. And while substance abuse on all college campuses is a startling issue, one statistic from the NCAA is just as alarming. It found the depression rate among female athletes is higher than that of male athletes. Camila Williams discusses the details of what the NCAA researchers found.
The NCAA found that the depression rate was higher amongst female athletes than it was their male counterparts. Statistics show that almost 30% of female track athletes showed signs of depression versus the 18% of male athletes. Female track athletes had higher symptoms of depression than any other sport in the study. Altogether, the NCAA study said that about 1 in 4 student athletes show signs of depression. Camila Williams for WRFL.
Dr. Forsyth, you work with student athletes here on campus, obviously. Do you notice a difference here at UK between the number of male student athletes and female student athletes who do seek help? And does that boil down to depression in general, or is it simply just females are more open to sort of seeking help and getting that help that they need?
That's a good question. So this is a difficult question, I think, to think about, because what we know is that women are absolutely, like you said, more likely to and more willing to seek counseling and to talk about their and to report mental health difficulties. Mm-hmm. So that statistic is hard to really parse apart what's really actually happening there. What we do know is that women also experience a lot of pressure related to body image, sexual harassment, negative societal biases that they experience, and stereotypes. And I think it's also important to consider, like, what are the intersecting identities with the woman athlete? So mm-hmm. are they a queer woman? Are they a queer woman of color? Are they a woman of color on their team, and how that might also be impacting the stress that they're experiencing and what that looks like for them?
Right. Sabrina, she brought up some interesting points there, and not necessarily from personal experience, but just as a female student athlete, do you sort of see that side of things like, okay, yes, we do have to deal with these body image issues, these sexual harassment issues? Does that feel more personal to you as a female student athlete?
Oh, very, very. I mean, like, you're being judged not only by your play, but you're being also judged physically in how you perform. Are you acting like a lady? You know, there's a stigma around like women's basketball that everybody's like butch or like, you know, stuff like that. But we're not seen as like strong, confident women. We're just seen as manly, or you know what I'm saying? And so there's definitely a lot of stuff that comes along with that. Like, their uniforms are too baggy, or they do this, they're too tall, like kind of stuff like that. And so, I mean, it makes complete sense to me. Like, it definitely, like, it happens, and you know, we're still like women, so we're still, sexual harassment still happens, which is very sad, and just kind of stuff like that.
Right.
And can I add on to that just a little
Absolutely.
Bit? So I'm also thinking about the culture within each team, right? And all of the pressures. Mm-hmm. So your pressure is probably likely different than a woman's gymnastics athlete or a track run, you know, all of the different even body image and what that looks like and what that pressure is. And even that people feel like they can comment on that or speak about that.
Oh, yeah. Right. I mean, just it's not necessarily like basketball itself is not necessarily like a girly sport. Mm-hmm. And so like, you know, it's not seen as something that's super like feminine and like, you know, light and airy kind of stuff like that. But I mean, it's definitely different because, you know, at least like gymnastics, they're wearing different uniforms. Everybody's wearing different stuff. They're doing different things mm-hmm. with their body, which is still incredible. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, basketball itself is different and people see it different.
Right. Right, totally agree. And we'll go back just one more time to this idea that, like you said, men are less likely to come forward. They don't feel as comfortable. Does that sort of go back to that idea of the stigma that we were talking about earlier? And obviously this is a nationwide cultural issue, not necessarily a campus issue. But what are sort of some of the first steps we could take to get those male student athletes to feel more comfortable talking about this?
Normalizing that it's okay to have emotions and to be able to talk about that. And a lot of that can also come from the culture within the team. So mm-hmm. whether it's from coaches or from other teammates, navigating through some of that, I think if we can stop telling men, stop crying, you can't feel that way, then right. that's important.
You need to be masculine.
Yeah, blah, toxic blah, blah. Masculinity.
Yeah, all of that, that's still very prevalent, especially in sport. When you think mm-hmm. about sport, it's like, it's sport, mm-hmm. you know, I'm working. And then, yeah. but nobody really understands that emotions are okay to
right.
express.
Yep. Right. Well, there are obviously multiple ways that athletes, both male and female, can help manage their mental health. On the NCAA's website, there are multiple workshop PowerPoints and planning kits on how to help student athletes deal with their own mental health. However, there are other ways and resources that some student athletes are turning to. Camila Williams spoke with track and field thrower Charles Linford Jr. about how he copes with stress, depression, classes, and being an athlete.
There are different ways that students deal with depression. UK track and field thrower Charles Linford Jr. says it's just a matter of how he's dealing with it. Charles discusses his own battle with depression.
I kind of separate myself, I guess. I separate myself from everybody, and I just stay by myself. You know, I work on music. I make music and stuff, so that's all I really do. I do that, separate myself, and just kind of work like that.
25% of male track and field athletes are reported to show symptoms of depression, according to the research studied by researchers from Keene and Drexel University. Camila Williams for WRFL.
Well, we just heard one student athlete's perspective about sort of how he chooses to cope with his own mental health issues. Dr. Forsyth, sort of walk us through the accessibility. You, of course, work at the Counseling Center here at UK. How do students have to go through that process in terms of getting an appointment, figuring out who to see? Where does the cost come in?
That's a good question. So I love this because this is what I do. But at the Counseling Center, we have walk-in hours every day, Monday through Friday. So students literally can walk over and be seen at our Counseling Center that day. They can also call and schedule an appointment if, you know, it's like really hard to figure out what time do I have available, what does that look like? And we're at no cost for students that are in 6 credits or more. So actually accessibility is pretty easy in terms of getting in the door. And then from there, we'll help students figure out what they need, how we can support them and help them navigate some of that in whatever way is important and mm-hmm. necessary for them.
Right. And we talked a little bit sort of before we came on the air about the percentage of students that you see that are student athletes versus that percentage that you would like to see. Would you like to, you know, sort of figure out some resource more specifically for student athletes, or does the university have anything in that department, or is it more just like general all students, same resources?
I mean, we try to reach out to various student groups on campus, those that are not likely to utilize services or underutilize them, like student athletes have been shown, just research shows that that's true. So ways that we can get connected with them would be great, whether that's like going to a specific event that they have and have a tabling event or something like that. But I mean, that's true for all we want underutilized students to come mm-hmm. and see us, and that we are there to support them, and that's important to us. So whatever way we can get out there, that's important.
Yeah, personally, I mean, when I was going through like my own type of struggles, I think I could have used the counseling center a whole lot more, but I turned to like other people, mostly just because, you know, I have people like right in front of me, like my coaches, my parents, my teammates, all kind of stuff. But definitely when you're at that certain point, you need professional help, and that's what's helped people that I've known in the past. Mm-hmm. So I wish that more people would do that, and I wish that I did that. Mm-hmm. So
right. And some, just from an awareness standpoint, what are sort of the signs that people could look for in themselves or even in their friends? Like you said, you can turn to your teammates, but what do your teammates need to look for in you if they're worried about someone is struggling with depression?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one of the first things that I think about is, are they withdrawing? Are they isolating? Are they tearful often? Are they struggling to attend their classes or go to practice? Fatigue, difficulty concentrating, like those sorts of things where they look generally down, maybe not like themselves, like what they used to be. You notice any difference or change, reaching out to them and asking how can I support them and referring them to us is really important too.
Right. And for those students who may be feeling like that, but maybe are still sort of fitting in with that stigma of, oh, I don't need to talk to anyone, or no, I don't need that. What would your advice be to them?
Well, my mind naturally just goes to Let's Talk that we have here on campus, where mm-hmm. we actually go out into campus and meet with students, and it's drop-in. So it's like, hey, we can tell you about what therapy is going to look like. And also, like what Sabrina was saying, it's okay to not be okay. And it's scary to come in and to talk to some random person that you've never met. But also, that's what we're here for. And we're here to support that, and that there's no judgment around that. That's, we want to be helpful, and we have the education and ability to do so.
Right. Well, obviously this is a huge issue on college campuses nationwide, and we could talk about it for hours on end, but unfortunately we are just about out of time for this evening. One more big thank you to both of our guests, Sabrina Haynes and Dr. Alex Forsett. Thank you both so much for being here with us tonight.
No problem.
Happy to be here.
And to our listeners, if you or if someone you know may be suffering from depression, please visit the UK Counseling Center here on campus and talk to a professional to get the help that you or one of your loved ones may need. There is never any shame in that. Tonight has been the final Campus Voices for this semester. Thank you to everyone who's tuned in each and every week. For WRFL, I'm Maggie Davis alongside our wonderful director, Mr. Noah Oldham. Thanks for listening and good night.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm. And, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to wrfl.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.